We're back from recess, and we're ready to take up the staff departmental update with Road and Bridge. And who would like to begin? Let me back up.
Right here, sir. This is their list. Yeah. That list was submitted to us.
Do you have a copy of this list down there?
That's your list, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I've made a couple of additions to that list, and I laid them each a copy on the desk there.
I got it.
Okay. Go ahead. Oh, this is updated. Got it.
First item is I'd like to send a couple of guys to attend this safety workshop there in Springfield. I believe it's in September, if that's possible. And then we're tentatively trying to get safety meetings scheduled. One I'm going to do in the spring. I'm working with Dixie and the workman's comp gentleman to bring in as a speaker for a safety meeting for all Road and Bridge employees sometime in the spring. I haven't said anything for this fall yet. I figured we'd work that around the snow rodeo type situation and we probably can create something there on our own as far as a safety class. But I thought that right there would be a good thing to send Harlan and David to start off with.
Randy, you said you talked to our workman's comp group, One Beacon, is that what you said?
Yeah, I've talked to a gentleman there, and then another gentleman actually come to our office. We're actually got our workman's comp insurance through him, and we talked various topics and different things that he'd be glad to come in. He's one gentleman that does safety training and whatnot, but he has several counties throughout, so we have to schedule kind of way out in front to make sure we get a good date. So that's the reason the spring come to mind. So
well, I mean, I think it's important.
I'm in full favor of them both going.
Then I say too. Okay. That way you can just send it through accounts payable and we'll approve it then.
Okay.
You guys will be on the, you know, you'll be the first to see anything that's out of line or out of compliance with the OSHA, so.
Yeah.
That's what these are targeted for,
right?
We don't need a motion. That's just a nod of the head to go ahead and let them
just because it, we'll approve it when it comes to your accounts payable. Yeah, I don't think we need to.
No.
The next time I have a Steve Tate with Oakmont to ask if we had any extra dirt if he could acquire, and I asked him he would need to do a dirt agreement, and so I have one for him, which in our southwest part of the county, we can basically, for clean ditches and have excess dirt, we can take it to their maintenance facility and just dump it. He can utilize it however he wants to, but if you guys are willing to do that.
That's fine with me. They do a lot of. Are they in on a? Do we have other agreements with them on snow removal and maintenance on certain roads out there?
Snow removal, we do.
Yeah, so that can play into a part of this thing. Jim, you want to look this over and see what you think, Mike? I'm fine with letting them have some dirt out of those clean outs and things like that. I remember Steve coming before the commission on a couple of different things, and we had we signed it last year in a governmental agreement, didn't we?
We did. We did some payment for the for elections, or it was something like that, too.
Yeah, so I'm fine with that.
There's just no limit. We're just going to use them until it's just going to be a spot.
Right.
Right.
I move that we approve.
Oakmont.
Yeah, Oakmont Community as a designated dirt agreement. I don't know. I move that we enter into a dirt agreement with Oakmont Community Association.
With Steve Tate's supervision.
That's fine. With Steve Tate as manager.
Yep. Yeah, because if you don't, there's so many places out there that.
With Steve Tate being the manager.
Yeah. Okay. I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Motion's been made to approve a dirt agreement with Oakmont Community with Steve Tate serving as manager. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Can Nikki keep that agreement until tomorrow and circulate because she's not here and she needs to make copies and all that fun stuff?
Yeah.
She's asked us that anything we vote on agreement-wise, don't give it away until we let them deal with it tomorrow.
Okay. About a couple of weeks ago, I had a gentleman, actually lives up pretty close to where I live, asked me, he's had some water issues and several times in the past during heavy rains and whatnot, on this particular road, which is Kenny Creek Road. The gentleman is Steve Adams, and he'd asked if we could change the road. And it's in this on the drawing. It's in that curve, basically in front of his house. There's a double culvert coming across the road, then goes through a double culvert in his driveway, and then goes on down toward the bridge. Where drainage also goes through a field entrance culvert, which is lined just left of the double lines there on the very right. Them culverts on occasion you will plug up and we clean them under our normal maintenance. But he's willing to give right away or easement to move the road closer to his house to make the water go all down the north side to the bridge. Whether that's exactly doable, I'm going to have to look at a little more closely. Part of it could be the problem would be is the alignment of the bridge down there is making that drain all on the north side down to the bridge. That's going to get really tight right in that area is one of the problems I foresee that happening. It's doable as long as we don't make an adverse curve coming off the bridge. It's going to come into play if we move the road too much there.
I went and looked at it. Steve visited with me. He said if we could move the road, move the ditch line, fill one ditch in and move the road 3 to 6 feet, he thinks it would handle the existing water. I looked at this back, it's probably been 4 years ago when we had some rain. Maybe it was 2008, maybe, when we had all the rain. And definitely every time it comes a pretty good rain, it washes his driveway out and kind of washes into the culvert will not handle, and the angles of the culvert won't handle the water. Is that what you found, Randy, as far as basically in a nutshell?
Right. They actually need to be one... actually a bigger size culvert put in there rather than them double type culverts.
The problem
with that being is it would leave him with a very deep ditch. I mean, you'd have to have a ditch in excess of 4 feet deep to handle
the water.
What runoff that comes down that particular area, and I don't think he wants a 4 foot ditch in front of his house. I mean, he's got a wide and a wider ditch now than what used to be there. but
let's bring them in.
It's just not handling the runoff like it ought to.
Well, I think that's whenever he said 3 to 6 feet on that, that's what he was wanting to do, is widen the ditch wide enough that it could to maybe handle that, and then do away with one of them culverts and put a bigger culvert in. I thought maybe if we just kind of let you go figure out maybe what we needed to do there. I know that's aggravating for any citizen to have to get out there and fix their driveway every time it comes heavy rain. It's on the county. I mean, it's where it comes off the county. I'm not talking about his driveway. I'm talking about where it comes off of the county is causing the problem. So I'm all right with you fixing it myself after going and looking at it.
If I can fix it and not adversely affect alignment here at the bridge, I mean, if he's willing to give us a little additional easement there to shift the road, give us room to put a bigger ditch down the north side, that'd be one way of solving it. But without getting onto this gentleman's property on the north side, I'm hoping that's what we can accomplish. We just have to look at it a little more closely.
Yeah. Is there much cost associated with this?
There'll be, I mean, just equipment and actually, if we shift the road and move it, we'll be widening the road to one side. The other side, as far as creating them culverts, it'll be cost of the culverts, bigger culverts, and probably 3-4 days machine work there, and then resurfacing whatever we move the road. It'll be that type of work.
If you shift... I thought you said the ditch, Dan, not the road, but the road.
Remember, the ditch and the road.
Well, we'd have to move the road over to make enough room for the ditch on the north side. There's not enough room for a ditch that size.
When you move that water over to the other side, is it going to cause a water problem for the property owner over there?
That's another possibility. We're trying to turn water at 90 degrees. It doesn't matter which side of the road. We're still turning water almost 90 degrees there at that point. So we're going to have to riprap to protect. He's got an old field there. There's really not a whole lot of improvements, but it is somebody's property, and I don't want
to. Well, while I'm looking, it doesn't look to me like you've got much room on that north side within the easement.
If we shift the road, if he's willing to give the easement, we can shift the road over and keep the ditch.
You can put the ditch in part of the road.
We just move the road over. As long as we can keep from, I don't want to create a turn right onto the bridge, right that close to the bridge. I mean, we'll keep a decent alignment there. I'll just have to look at it some more.
The road itself will be where the ditch will be where the road's at now. That's what.
And we're trying to solve the problem of flooding. Is that right?
Yeah. Right, okay. In front of his house.
Okay. I mean, are we talking $10,000 fix? What are you thinking?
I don't know if it'll quite run that much. I'd say closer between $5,000-$6,000 possibly. I need to look at it a little closer, and I can get you
a better. If it's $5,000 or $6,000, I'm fine moving forward. I don't want to flood someone's, what we're doing now. But my concern if it gets it. It sounds like there's some variables that could get it well over $10,000, and that makes me a little nervous.
Part of the cost, if he is willing to give right away, I would have to get a survey description of an easement there. So there's going to be some costs there.
That be our cost or his cost, since it's his problem that we're repairing?
Most of the time we've done that as our cost.
Do you want to just send Randy back out there and get some true figures?
At least a little closer to the number.
Okay.
I mean, you don't have to be exact. Just something closer would be better for me to feel better about the whole deal.
All right. I'll bring you back a little better estimate cost.
I'd feel better with that.
Okay.
I don't see a problem with it. Just a little nervous about that.
Randy, while you're talking about a water issue, and I know that you guys have already expended a great deal of time, effort, and money into the property up here that sits at Casey Road and 160, I got a call while I was at the commissioner's meeting last week. I don't remember which day it was, but from that same individual that is wondering if, in fact, we're going to keep the water from running down and into his house. Now, I know that we put, what was it, a drain out there in the yard? I know that there's already been, but there's a sewer project going on, right?
Right. There's currently a sewer project coming through
Hickory. I went out there with Mr. Fabian some months ago when he first brought that to my attention, and he said if the day comes when we're going to do this sewer project, maybe there is something we could do to help divert the water off this, the county road change that occurred before. It's a low area. That's never going to change, in my opinion.
Right.
Where that house sits is, that's what is a problem.
We went above and beyond, if you want the right terminology, to fix that problem. And we put a drain in where there was no drain. We put added fill in. I can't think of anything else that we can do.
If we want to capture all the water that's coming from the roadways, both Hickory Street and Casey Road in that particular, we'd have to put in a storm drain in the curb line, capture that and pipe it down to an existing storm drain farther down the street. But that's going to be expensive to do that. I mean, I can see $10,000 spent there just on putting a couple, not just his property, but even on the other side, there's water issues too. So
was the water problem compounded based upon a change in the road, or based upon the sewer change? What caused the problem to become greater is my question. I mean, none of us would like to have 4 or 5 inches of water run in on part of our house. I mean, we just wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's going to be pretty expensive to fix it, and it might not fix it.
No, there's no guarantee that will take care of it, because that just takes care of what's on the street itself. It's actually what falls in the yard that part's running down there and flooding part of that too. We have no control over that.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
We spent well 2 or 3 times the numbers that you guys are talking about on just fixing that one location, and I'm not sure that it was ever our problem to start off with.
Before we started the project, didn't we do an assessment with our engineer of what properties? I mean, there was some before. Don't they do some before analysis work, Danny? I mean, don't most on any major project they come back and document stuff? And I mean, my concern is if we've caused it, let's fix it. But if we didn't cause it and can't for sure know that we've caused it.
Let me ask you something, Jim, and maybe you'll be familiar with it. Did you go across the street, directly across the street, to where I went and visited a couple of times, and it was supposed to be our problem? And, I mean, you could pretty well see that it wasn't our problem.
Right.
Well, that's what this generally is, too. We have went above and beyond trying to get a fix this up because of where it actually laid within the proximity of the new road that went in there. That's the only reason we did the work that we did, was because of where it lay. I don't think that there's anything else that the county is responsible for, myself. Hmm. We moved a giant sycamore tree that was on the other side of the road that was going to fall in, that was actually
turned. What's the address of that place?
I don't know the address of the... It's right at the corner of Casey Road and 116.
Right there.
Owner's name is Ron Wyatt.
On the south side of that area.
Yeah.
I had some time ago also talked with Travis Heyer, who's with the company that's doing whatever the sewer project is that's being done there, to see if he could give me any type of estimate on what they thought might be done at the same time. So that's who I deferred Ron to. I said, you need to talk to them. I brought it up before.
We actually had the engineers go out as we trenched in the drainage system there. They had played a part in that also, didn't they, Randy?
Yeah.
I mean, we've hired engineers. We've done way more than our part on this thing. There is some there's something to be said about that problem already existing before we came along to build the road. And I'm, as you well know, I've been out there lots, and I've tried to help every one of those people out that live out there on anything that the county created.
Who was the engineer out there on that on the Casey Road project?
The project, it was Great River Engineering on that. They took over. The previous engineer was Hanson Company, and they didn't get the plans completed as requested. Anyway, we had Great River take over the project, and they went in and resurveyed and then re-engineered a lot of it.
Okay.
And but they were the engineers on one from the start of work, anyway.
I'm going to talk to Great River. It's not a dead issue. I just want to do a little more checking. So if you could just bring this back up next time we meet, between now and then, I'll make sure I talk to Great River and just get comfortable with knowing that it's not our deal.
That bring us the total cost of what we've already spent. That'll help, Mr. River.
On this property?
Yes.
Okay.
Dale Avenue Access Road, is that your next item?
Dale Avenue, we need something in writing as far as the access road, so we're not going to be able to claim our expense that we've done building this without some type of lease agreement or something in writing from this gentleman.
Is it Eb Johnson, is that right?
Yeah.
If it's all right with you guys, we'll get something written up by our attorneys, and then David and I can go out there and... He had already sent the notes for us, one of us, to contact him because he wants to sell us that property. So I think we can probably, at this point, at least go out there and get a signature and meet him out there, David, you and I, and just talk about it if you guys want that. We got to get an agreement no matter what, just for the access road, for the emergency of the water, the flood, just to take care of that. Sound good with you?
I'm fine.
Commissioners?
Okay.
Last week we received a call from the Sheriff's Department requesting us to put up no parking signs, and this is down there where the people go into KDOC. Just before the KDOC gate, there is a section of gravel road between Parksley and the gate that people were parking their pickups and boat trailers when they were launching boats in different areas, and they didn't realize it was blocking the access actually to KDOC, I guess, and or creating a problem for other people getting to the dock when the road opened. And so we did put up a no parking sign for a while until the lake just dropped enough that they can utilize that other access. Right now the lake's still high enough that they can't use the blacktop road all the way down to the parking area on the core. And I guess some people were getting confused where they were launching and parking, so they were parking on this gravel section. But anyway, so we put up the no parking signs, and once the lake gets down far enough, we can remove them. But I kind of viewed it as a safety hazard if they need to get an ambulance or anything through there. So, the next topic is a Hollister facility. We have the hot tank usable. I'm going to do one more test on it, and actually we put oil in it and everything, got a gauge set. Everything is working good. Wednesday, I'm going to have a gentleman come down. We're going to turn on the elements and see how well it heats this amount of oil that we have in there, which is about a distributor load of oil, and make sure the elements are going to work correctly and shut off when they're supposed to. So, but that's where we're at with it. So it's, for the most part, after this test, once everything's good, I mean, we're in good shape there. Do you guys have any idea what's you determined the rest of the facility at this time, or are you still waiting?
Waiting for them to fix the documents.
Okay.
Okay.
This next item is Ingerthorne Road. We've had it surveyed across Mr. Blevins' property and down to the what I call the creek or the ford. And that's where by the court order, that's determined the bold dark line, that is the right-of-way of the road. We currently have it to where it turns straight north across Mr. Blevins. It's a base road to that point. This next section of road needs to be cleared, but as you can see, there's a fence almost dead center of the road for the biggest portion of it that is on the right-of-way of the road. And as you can see from
existing fences right in the middle of the right of way. See this fence? Yes.
From this corner pin, the fence jogs in and comes right down that road.
Did anybody check with Mr. Brown to see if the option of moving that over 40 to 100 feet? Was still in play?
Actually, it's Mr. Darby that owns that property, and I've talked with him. I mean, he's all for this right here. I haven't sent him a copy of the survey yet. I don't know what the deal is with the fence, if that's Mr. Jessel's fence or Darby's fence or whose fence it is. So,
well, I just say that Mr. Brown, who was handling the property for Mr. Darby at one time, had offered to move the fence or move the road away from that fence to form a buffer area there, 50 to 100 feet, and go ahead and let us clear it out. If that be the case, I would rather do that as have those two individuals in a lawsuit with us over there if they would go ahead and give us the buffer zone and have it replatted.
The fence is on county property, right?
Right.
It is. We have the gentleman that owns the property he's wanting to vacate this part of it and move it over here to where it's a buffer zone between him and another neighbor that they can't get along with. I can't see that we wouldn't accommodate that if he's given us the property and we haven't done any clearing or anything on it yet. I mean, it just makes good common sense to me that we wouldn't cause a problem if we go out here and do it, put it where it's at.
So yes. What it would be is a petition for a relocation of an existing county road?
That or just having give additional easement here if he's willing to do that.
Well, you still have the problem of the fence line and county right of way.
Right. That's
somebody may come along that's on the county commission. If two of them say move it, then we're going to be in a position of moving it, right?
That's my question.
If the fence is in county right of way, an existing county road. This has been through the gamut, right? It's a road I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Your solution to move it can be done by a relocation, and that property then would fall back to the property owners on either side, the part that's vacated. Actually, it wouldn't fall here to rec, but it's to rec.
Normally, if you vacate that section of it, wouldn't it split equally and go to each
If you just vacated the entire road today, it would go to either property.
Right.
Go to split.
You vacated the existing road then.
Right.
That with this.
And it goes to both property owners, equally split. Well, right now, the equal split is already almost, one guy's got his fence almost on half of it anyway, so he's
right.
That's where the fence row's going to go. Now, we're going to have enough problems on the other end over there for...
We've got the same problem up there, regardless.
The big fence problem was all the way up at the north end.
It is. We wasn't sure about this one until we had it surveyed, because I couldn't have told you where, but the road runs with that section line, according to the deeds.
It looks like the whole road's on the west side of the section line.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So how far would, if we didn't get this easement, how far would we have to move that fence, or would he have to move
it? Does this have a scale?
About 25 feet on the first section, yeah. Less as you go on down.
Yeah. He's going to have to move it up 30 feet on the south end. And then less on the north end.
We've been talking about this since I've been in office, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've seen pictures where we had stakes and people in the field and all that where the fence is supposed to go, right?
Right, that's where the fence is supposed to go.
Yeah.
Doug, are you here on this property?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, the court order declared this road highway 160 all the way through to H. Well, actually, the court order went to here. The court order didn't say anything about the location, but this is where the county has the deed, the 1916 deed. 40 feet, all on this property. This is a new owner. The Beckmans, Berkmans, that was before, they sold to this Darby. He just bought it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, no way. This is a new fence. The old fence is still here.
Where's the old fence on?
Well,
is it off
it's all down. Well, it's back and forth down this line. It's between the power line and the...
How new is the fence then?
It's pretty new.
2, 3 years? 2 years?
Yeah, I'd say.
Has it been built since the court made their
decision?
Yeah.
Well, then it needs to be moved. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But here's the deal, Mr. Berkman. Okay, Mr. Berkman had sold the property. Mr. Brown, the real estate agent.
Brown represented the one Berkman got it from. He was a real estate agent for Oglesby or Oscar.
Okay.
Okay, and then Berkman bought it, and then Berkman sold it to Darby.
Okay.
But these go all the way back where they actually, it is county road, but you can see that the deeds were a little bit ambiguous. It came up 40 feet over here on this side, then it jumped over at this corner 40 feet here. But that's kind of a moot point because there's a big ravine right here, and then the old road actually went around that ravine. And that's the way the county, they got through. There used to be a road all the way down through here.
Okay, let me get this straight now. If there's no agreement, it's left to move the road with the barrier, which that's what they wanted to prevent a big argument here. That's the reason that somebody's willing to give up 50 to 100 feet. If they're wanting to do that and us move the road that is non-existent now, but it has been in existence, that's where I was going. If that agreement is no longer in place, then we got to move the fence and to get the road through
yeah,
there.
That's a question I can't. answer, but
I was called to location.
What this survey shows is what the county actually owns. These are the conditions out there. You've got a power line, you had an old fence, you've got a new fence, and a newer fence, but you still own that. The county still owns that 40-foot strip.
We had to go take the sheriff's deputies up to the corner up there with Road and Bridge, Randy Hayes, myself, and some deputies went up there to make sure when that other fence was built and look and point out the locations and everything else, because it's not a good situation.
No, I mean, I know the parties. Well, but it's kind of, brought it on by building that after the court order.
Mm-hmm. The thing is,
this fella didn't have anything to do with the court order over here. It was between these down here, where the court order was, between this party right here.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
He was well aware of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were very much involved in it.
Yeah.
And
if it's no longer in existence, then, gentlemen, I'm with you on moving the fence. If it's a 50-foot still existence of a barrier there to avoid neighbors getting into it, I'm for that.
Well, if that works.
You know, if that agreement is no longer in existence, and that's what I'm hearing you say.
Well, maybe. I didn't know there was agreement. There wasn't anything as far as a record agreement that I could find.
Right, and it wouldn't be in record. It was just
the court order, and I've read that one, and it goes from here all the way down to 160. Mm-hmm.
The
corridor starts a half a mile from 160.
It does, yeah.
And then where the road actually is in place today.
So
anyway, I hope that could help you a little bit. Well, this is a new owner, so I don't think he's probably aware of the court case, but then again, he probably wasn't really paid that much attention to
one. But he's not the individual that offered the property, is that what you're saying?
No.
He's saying it wasn't, so.
That was this guy's father-in-law that owned it all.
Okay.
Mr. Berkman wasn't who I dealt with. I dealt with Mr. Brown through representing both parties.
Yeah, I don't know what Rick was. But he was mostly involved in the previous owner when they sold the big piece.
Right. So that's what
he also was told about this piece.
That's where Bessie lived?
Yeah. Just in order to keep it open. But there's also now a fence that's really close to the...
It's on the line. It's on the line. You couldn't cut a ditch or nothing else in there now. I appreciate you coming over, because I wasn't aware of those facts that you're telling me about. I thought it was still probably in existence.
Yeah. Randy, are you available at 2:00?
Yeah.
Can we have you come back over here at 2:00 for we're going into exec? If there's potential litigation, I'd like to chat about this with counsel at that time.
All right.
All right. Yeah. We'll make that first order of business. Doug, thank you. Doug. Let me borrow you for a second, if we can backtrack. We talked briefly this morning about the property that's up here at KC and 160. Belongs to Mr. Wyatt.
He had
called me last week. I know that the county has done a lot of work already up there. Is there anything else that could be done to help this guy? Is there something
that we're responsible? Well, he was in our office and talked with Travis, our engineer, this last week, and I was privy to that conversation. What had happened, his house is low, but whenever Casey Road was built, they raised it about a foot. So the water that comes off of, that naturally came across his property and off of Casey, drained to Casey Road. Now that since it's raised, it's put him in a hole. And when it rains, the water comes down Casey, and what other water that he has ponds up and gets on his patio, porch, screen-in porch. And Travis came up with a scheme to put some big drainage in there, which is really costly. But he was happy to raise his patio up, cut a trench, not his patio, but his porch, his screened-in porch, cut a trench across that, leave that open. That will keep the water maybe from getting flooding his porch, but it's still, you've still got a water problem. And the county put some drainage out there, and they talked about putting in a different kind of structure around those so the leaves wouldn't
plug it up
the grates and be a little more easy to clean out. But it was Travis's opinion that the drainage that was in there still wasn't gone, that the county put in wouldn't hold a lot of water. What, 6-8 inch?
Right? I think they're 6 inch,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
But the amount of water that comes on there, if those drains are plugged up with leaves, then they're not doing any good. They run right in on his floor. He's been flooded a couple of times in there. But I can see his concern where before it ran right off of the, ran right across his property into the Casey Road. And now that since it's raised, it's kind of putting that
off. Yeah.
But his solution was probably the most economical is what he's wanting to do. Put a couple inches of cement on his slab there, and then cut a trench across it.
But he doesn't need us to do that, right?
I think he's looking for help financially on it.
What?
Because the problem was it didn't exist until the road was built.
What kind of cost would be involved in this?
I'm not sure. He builds houses, and he's a contractor. He has houses built for him all the time. So he had. He didn't say how much. I know it's going to be a lot less expensive than what they were talking about, you know, putting drainage structures out there for. But that looked like if you could work with him on doing something, that's the best way to go, the most economical way to go, and come up with some kind of a grate that they could actually clean out and wouldn't get clogged up as badly with the leaves.
How big a concrete structure are you talking about? Patio or carport or whatever it is, if he's going to raise it up?
Probably. It's the width of his house, and it's probably the length of his house. It's probably 12 by maybe 20 at the most. Just you know, we'd have to measure that. I can't just by visually recalling how big it is.
Guys, any idea what 12 by 20 slab of concrete 4 inches deep would go?
No, it would be 2 inches.
2 inches.
And then before that, you'd cut a trench across the old one for a drainage. You know, before you put that new layer on top, he would trench out right down the middle where the water would.
I mean, so it'd go under?
Yeah, go under his house. Go under through the concrete.
All right.
Huh. Three slab. And then put another 2 inches on top of that once he got the trench cut.
That's about a yard and a half of concrete. That's what it amounts to.
Well, he said there's a special kind of stuff that you added either.
Right.
Make it adhere to the other. You'd have to go in there and drill holes and put something to make it stick to the other, adhere to the old concrete.
2-inch cap will pop off of there on the outside anytime it freezes and thaws. So.
Thank you, Doug.
All right.
Sherry?
Something, if you guys are wondering liability on this, what way to dig that out might be to ask him for his original disclosure when he bought the home to see if there's water problems in the bottom. That should be on an owner's disclosure. You should have that.
Are we done with the Ingersoll Road, with the exception of talking about it again at 2?
Yeah.
Entrance to Hildeshop.
I put that on there. The entrance onto Gilbert Lane from Highway 160, which not only goes to our shop, but also goes to a residence beyond the shop. We had a close call last week with one of our vehicles, and the gentleman that called in here and talked to Jillian, which was not a very nice call with her, basically. But The incident, and so I double-checked the incident to make sure it happened, called the gentleman back after checking with a couple of our drivers that were driving our bigger vehicles, and neither one of them seen this vehicle. But then I found out later that another guy was driving another low-boy tractor-trailer type vehicle and did pull out, and it did happen. I mean, it was a close call. There was no accident actually happened. But one of the issues with this entrance pulling out of there is it doesn't give you enough time with the sight distance that's there to get a big vehicle out without somebody almost being on top of you on several occasions. So the vehicles coming from Foresight going towards Cedar Creek is the ones coming in front of residents of Gilbert Davis. It's we need to create more sight distance somewhere. If we can get more sight distance, it would be a big help.
What's your thoughts?
First thing is I wanted to go talk to Gilbert and find out. There are some bushes out there. If I don't know if they're on the private property. I'm sure they'd be on private property and not county or state right away. But see if there's possibility we might be able to either move them or transplant them or do something to create a little more line of sight there for right. Our vehicles to at least be able to see just a little bit farther would be a big help. We do have signs. The state put up warning signs there on each side of this road anyway. But as I said, it's a sign, but a lot of people don't pay that close attention.
I mean, I think sight distance is the issue.
Right, and I mean, people are traveling, you know, 55 mile an hour through here, so it doesn't take them very long to travel 300 feet to get up on top of you, and that's, I don't know if we even got 300 feet sight distance right there.
Or is it when you're crossing the highway mainly?
I've always
kind of wondered about the, if we couldn't widen, and I mean, may be the same thing, may have to talk to Gilbert to do so, or either that because we've got our fence there. Widen the entrance road to where you can take a low boy or even a big truck to where you can already start making your turn before you get to the road to get out on it instead of having to come up there and cross the road and make the turn as you cross the other lane of traffic. And I'm thinking that we might have somebody go out there and see if that wouldn't work. At least that may need to be done. Even if we get the sight distance. You know what I'm saying? As you cross a low boy or anything that's got anything, any length to it.
I really think looking to the east, our chain link fence actually blocks a little bit of sight looking back to the east somewhat. And if that was moved back, that'd help from that direction. But looking back to the west is one critical area that we need more sight distance.
The fence, we keep it sprayed so there's no
weeds.
Right.
So you're going to look and talk to the neighbors.
Right.
Up.
I guess is that Gilbert's?
Yeah, that would be good. There is a potential for an accident at one time. We haven't had one yet, but we. So all of us know that pull in now there that we pulled out on even one of our own personal vehicles or county equipment, and just about time you get straight, you look in your mirror and there's somebody right there, and they
I worry about
come
it.
Up
it's
on
snow
you pretty
equipment.
Quick. So
snow equipment. Somebody will come over the hill and you're trying to get a big truck with a blade and everything out there, and if you span any or somebody comes over the hill and slides, they're into you before you
right.
can get to it. So something needs to be investigated into.
So you're going to talk to the neighbor, see what
yes.
you can come up with, and then obviously I we agree. We need to
okay.
we need to do something.
Is the shrub is it shrubbery or is it brush?
I think there's bushes. It's shrubbery. It's not brush. It's
so
right
no
in front of.
No late night brush killer is going to do any good. Okay.
Yeah, it's still on. Good.
You're going to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
This Clevenger Cove, Bob Sarver, we've completed what I guess we were set out to do, or we're done, right?
Well, that, I'm glad you brought it. Last time we met, I showed you guys pictures. I've met with him, or talked to him last week again, and he asked me to bring it up to you guys, to the commissioners again. And let me tell you what his thoughts are. That he is saying that this washed out in the 08 flood, and that's why the damage is there. This damage was a washout from 08. He put gravel back in there so he could at least use his garage. But this was all poured concrete. If the water comes down, we put the curb in since then, but this is where his garage used to flood back before we did the chip seal last year. That's what when I went out there with Frank Preston,
he had water. Where's this
at? Clever Jaco.
Yeah.
Top of the. Yeah. So what he is saying is, would we pour that concrete back in and put it back the way it was prior to the 08 flood?
Is it on our easement?
I think it's just beyond our hammerhead easement.
Just beyond the easement?
Just beyond the hammerhead, where the hammerhead part turnaround we acquired stops. I think that driveway's just beyond that.
We didn't have the hammerhead.
I've seen this before.
No way.
You talked about last?
No.
Nope. No, we talked about last, 2 weeks ago.
See,
and he called me again after I gave him the news.
What he's saying there is we didn't have the easement in 08 when the water flooded.
It still didn't go that far, even with the new easement.
Right.
I don't know. I guess if it hit me on a bad day, I just hate to look at too much. When we get off of our easement.
Well, Dan, is this problem caused because of something we did with the road?
I don't know.
I'll tell you technically where he says his life changed is when the Emerald Point, when the planning zoning didn't do anything with water retention uphill. And when they cut some roads up there, water got diverted, and that's what caused all the. That's why we had to redo.
Go look at it, Ron. I mean, you and Jim there. I mean, it's not over on my side. I'll go look at it with somebody or something. But I'm not. What my concern is.
I was asking if it was something we had done, if something caused by a development up above is what.
Right,
and you're intimating.
Judgment. Yeah, I mean, it's a judgment call. Without going and looking, we have a hard time.
I'll tell you part of my concern why I'm mixed on this whole thing, even though it's on my side. Do I think we caught some? Did I think some of the water caused some of the damage? Yes, but there's a fine line between where do we stop? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a neighbor that's probably 50. The next neighbor downstream, downhill, they could say we've got water issues there too. I mean, do I think we caused some of this? Probably so. But could someone else say the same thing? Probably so. And where does it stop?
It brings back to my mind about the project where we took and paved a county road over on my side over there. Mm-hmm. And everybody that was on the lower side of the road after we paved it claimed that we'd done water damage to their property. Every one of them signed a signature to take the road in and to have it paved, but then when we paved it, they said it caused water damage over there. So there is a fine line as to where we're at with this.
Is he wanting back there?
This is all.
Is he wanting a culvert extender?
No.
What do you think, this David? I mean, it's you're out there. What do you think? It's something we caused?
This was all concrete here.
Yeah, no, in the first place.
He did, but then we
even with the damage.
Part of this runoff and water is following this road we used as an access, but that road was in existence even prior to us using it because that's how the people up the hill get home, so it's...
Do you need... Jim?
It's actually a road to the house, so...
I'm going to do this. I'm going to say that we don't do anything to it. Is that what you're needing for me to say? Because listening to...
We said it 2 weeks ago. We said it 2 weeks ago.
We already said no.
Okay. We already said no. He's called me twice since, and I've talked to him again. I've talked to Mr. Stottle about this again. And
sometimes you have to, because I'm going to bring up some issues here later on, that I'm not in favor of, but if people call me, want me to bring it to the commission, so you bring it to the commission right. for...
That's why I did that with
Mr. Right. Wyatt. So I'm going to say no again to this problem because I don't want to open up the door for a whole issue, a whole group of things that might not be our problem.
I presented it like I said I would again, so. You want me to take you out there and show you firsthand?
Here's my thinking. I could probably look at 100 of these around the county. Okay, let's say a dozen.
Oh, brother. I can give you a dozen of this subdivision.
What we have to do, and what I have to personally do, is make sure we're consistent with whatever decision we make so that we treat John Doe the same as Jane Doe. And I don't want to take care of the problem for one person here and
Did
another
they get
person not over here. That's just
Jane and John Doe.
Yeah. Well, Jane's husband.
You just want to treat Jane and John Doe the same. So I didn't know where they got split up or not. So.
Told you boys, quit picking on me.
I understand what you're saying, and that's where we get the consistency has to come. If we fix one problem like this, I see, as you might exaggerate and say 100, but I see several problems. That
well, we do. I mean, occasionally there's... There are problems that come before us, and if it's the county, if the county's had a share in the fault, we've taken care of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was
so where do you draw the line? Well, we're going to take care of you, and we're not going to take care of you.
There was a whole lot of water issues with this section of road, not particularly this one little spot, but and our crew's done a tremendous job once we took the road in, solving a lot of this water issues with this hill and then surfacing it and upgrading this road. But ever since we started on that, it seems that water problem just kept moving farther out. But we took care of everything within the right of way that we could absolutely take care of, to my opinion. Some of this was pre-existing.
I believe with the curbing that we did this last project, it takes his house of it. I don't think any part of his house or garage will be flooded now. I think right. we've completely taking care of that. And so the other thing is the pre-existing, like Randy was saying, I don't know how, but what the shape of the concrete was prior to the washout when Emerald Point we put in. I have no idea.
Wouldn't it take an awful lot of water to wash the concrete out of here?
Oh, it was...
There, this gentleman's particular property was getting a lot of water previous to us ever doing anything with this. Coming from part of this... Bunny.
Yeah, this hill goes from this picture and goes straight up here like this. And this is all downhill.
There was a tremendous amount of water.
Getting a lot of water. I mean, that's why we did
coming out of there, coming out of a driveway uphill from him, and we captured a lot of this drainage and took care of that. So it's helped him tremendously. Yeah, he's still got water issues, but
well, out of all the issues that we looked at this morning, this has got to be the least expensive to fix, I would think. Am I wrong?
We just dig out a hole and pour concrete in, but yeah.
I don't know which one he's looking at. Is that Sarver?
Sarver.
Yeah.
Well, you with? I'll tell you what I'd like to... I heard what Dan said. I'm not exactly sure where you're at on this.
Well, obviously...
Because all three of us said no before, because it's not on county right-of-way, and it's not something that we were sure had been caused by the county. And I've heard what you said about the subdivision that was developed above, which sounds like that's where a lot of additional water has come from. I think it would be interesting if we could go through and pick out all the group of problem areas that may or may not have been created because of the county or some action that the county has made and make decisions about those. But I don't see any reason to change my decision from what it was 2 weeks ago, unless there's something new that has been added, or if you're going to pursue it and you want me to go take a look at that, I certainly will do that.
Well, I mean, I obviously want to take care of all the constituents I represent over there, and but I want to be fair across the county, which is all what we want to. And we have water issues. That's why we're so hesitant about taking. I'm thinking of a subdivision over by, is it Sycamore Church Road, Mills Hollow,
in
that area. We haven't taken that subdivision, precisely the same problem, is that you inherit all the water problems with it and the way they have their curbing. And so I just want to be consistent, and which I think that's what we're all striving for. I mean, obviously there's been damage. I just don't know how old that damage is. I have no idea. We can relook at all the water issues, but as long as we're consistent countywide, I feel better about that.
So is that as clear as mud from Jim and I?
Yes, it is.
Excellent, Mr. Stahl. Well,
I thought
heard
we did
it
very well.
Here, but I don't.
All righty.
Is that?
Let's say no, and we'll relook it in the future. Okay. How's that?
So we're good.
Since you didn't accept my clear as mud thing.
Well,
thank you, Randy. Move on.
Equipment purchase. We would love to buy a self-propelled broom if at all possible. We do have some money in the equipment budget, for sure. Enough, I know, to easily buy this. But
is this something separate from a Harlan-propelled broom?
Yes, it is. That's the only thing I need.
Can we use the inmates for brooming?
Hey, is this do we have one that's not working?
We've got one that's, in the last year, has been a nonstop problem. We've got to get it totally rebuilt. But as much broom as we do now, we need one with the past green one chip and seal for the whole summer.
What's the cost of the broom?
We're estimating $35,000 to $40,000 range.
Yeah, I think we give $30,000 for the last one.
Yeah.
I don't want to get rid of the old one. We're about to get it on down, but I need a real reliable one. That's all I need.
Jim, are you looking on budget line or anything there?
We don't have any budget for it.
He says we do.
I didn't think we had
I think
any.
There's $100,000 in new equipment.
I didn't remember any being. I thought it was zero.
I thought we were tougher than that. I thought we put it at zero.
Yes, sir.
I move that we go ahead and let them buy the broom for both sides there.
Well, we can just direct Mr. Erickson to go put a bid out because that's what's going to require.
9250-30-015.
Would you meet with Mr. Erickson and put together the specs that are necessary for the bid process?
Yeah, we can help him get him the specs and let him take it from there.
Why don't you do that? That'd be great.
Okay. Find it. How much?
$100,000. $1,800.
Was that the right line item? I mean, is that? Okay.
That's the Harlan Road. I was.
This is not.
Still looking.
It's on the second page. Page 2. I don't know what page it is.
250-30-015.
Oh, you guys looking at the budget line now? Is that what
you're saying? Oh, yeah. They're thinking there's something there.
Stuff out of the woodwork.
250 what?
250-30-015.
They'll get to hunting around and find it somewhere.
We did approve $100,000 to that line item.
Well, yeah, I guess you've already got our agreement to go out and
put out for bid. We can still say no later if you guys are mean to us, but.
Next item is yours, Harlan. That's the intergovernmental agreement.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be added to. I've read it here. You guys can read it. It's
that Mr. Nelson, Mr. Cotty prepared yet or looked at?
No, we have to have him look at it.
Okay.
That'll give you a basis on what was existing the last time. That was the agreement from the last time. So
what we did, what they did and what we did was they cleaned up some trash and stuff, and we had a site problem there on that corner, and they cleared out some brush and stuff, and that was back when. How long ago has that been? That's been 6 years ago at least, probably. But this thing here is the same agreement, and we need to take and do away with that. That was needs to... like chip storage or salt?
Chip.
Actually, chip storage. Chip storage on, yes. Added to
and
it.
That's what I'd like to do as soon as possible.
We'll give this to Frank at our attorney time.
Okay.
I'll put it on the list here.
And as soon as he gets something figured out on it, then we need to move forward on it because Harlan's down in there chipping sealing now. He will be in 2 weeks.
He'll be here today at 2 o'clock.
And for the exchange for storing the chips, then we'll blade the snow off in the wintertime off of the lot.
And Randy, since we're utilizing you at 2 o'clock regarding one issue, we'll just go immediately into that one, okay?
Okay.
Next item, I'll kind of give you an update. We've completed about a little over 26 mile of our approximate 38 mile chip seal list. So, and we're kind of watching these three line items, basically our road oil line item, our hot mix line item, and of course the fuel. We cut these two areas back a little bit to offset the fuel costs, and I think we're going to be coming out in pretty good shape on these line items. The one question I do have, and me and David's kind of in disagreement with, I guess we interpreted this two different ways. Which two line items did you gentlemen combine to add to $1.1 million that we don't want to go over on our asphalt and chip seal work?
I'm sure they're going to say pull up the budget, Jim. So you can pull up the budget.
Well,
I don't have that in front of me.
I was under the assumption that the hot mix, cold mix line item and the road oil line item was the two combined that we were
okay. So we have 700,000 in the road oil. We have 600,000. This is starting budget here. 700,000 in road oil. 600,000 in rock chips, and then hot cold mix. We had 750,000.
Right. So 700 and a 750 would be
1,450. 1.4.
That'd be closer to what you're saying is the combined one.
But we knew the fuel was going to go up, so.
Well, when we talked, it came up to 1.3 million. You backed us up to 1.1 million. To get the extra for the fuel, so that had to have been the road oil and the chips,
right?
In my opinion,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
So our cold mix, hot mix will stay in the 750,000 range.
That's what we put in there, yeah.
Okay.
Does
that help?
But you're still good on your road oil, even after dropping 100,000 and dropping the rock and chips 100,000.
Right. I mean, we're gonna be good there. I mean,
but you're not. I'm just a little bit confused because we went back and re-looked this. That's the first deal. We went back and redid, eliminated some asphalt surfaces to do more chip and seal, right?
And this could be moved to that.
Is that what that's the way it is?
You never did decide what you were going to chip and seal, though.
I know, but I mean, we just thought we might get more miles in and do away with the asphalt surfaces that we had laid out. Right?
That's what we're trying to help out with this year. We were chip sealing some hot mat type roads in the more of the rural area to offset some costs there too. And so we've done several miles of that.
I guess the main question is, though, what you're saying is, are you going to have enough money to add some miles to the chip seal program by doing this?
All three of them should be combined.
Yeah. Right. I think we're going to be able to do more next year possibly, and we might even be able to pick up one or two at the end of this season yet that we had to pull
out. We've done that in the past whenever fuels went down some, and right. you're going to have some savings there. So we did that in the past. I think one year we did it about 7 miles or something like that extra, didn't we?
I think we added 10 miles last year. Yeah. We added 10 miles to it.
But also back to the rock, eventually if we get this one out, I'm going to tell them.
Well, what's the question on it? Is that basically what you're trying to do, is combine the two to get more miles?
Well, I just want to make sure we're combining. I thought we combined the road oil and the hot mix, cold mix, and then cut $300,000 out to offset
We're comfortable with them, whatever it comes.
The numbers are the numbers. Yeah, you guys might want to divide them up how – really – I just know we can't go over these, and how you guys want to maneuver them, I'm fine with it. I know we've talked about different roads, Danny.
That's fine with me.
You fine with that? You guys just work it out.
Well.
Unless there's an arm wrestle involved, and I'm taking Harley. So.
We still got a big chunk that's going to come out of the hot mix, cold mix when we get ready to do Owl Colony. That's going to be about $120,000, I'm estimating.
When did that happen?
Probably the middle of September.
Okay. I was actually hoping the first week in September. We'll see. It's going to happen pretty quick, though. We're on that. If possible, and some of these that we had to pull out of the chip seal list, if I can add them in and not go over, we can add a couple in. Next year, I'm working on next year's list also, trying to, and I'm hoping to do around 60 mile next year will help us kind of get caught up and get us closer to that 6 year.
If you can get that list for us, you know, in October, by October, that way we can budget it properly, that would be a big help. I mean, September we're supposed to have a rough draft, but we're going to start our budget discussions in October. We know that. So.
Are you anticipating roughly about the same budget just off the top of your head? Now.
Same dollar figure. I mean, the problem is we have cut your equipment purchases the last 3 years pretty bad. So we're going to have I know you're going to be needing some stuff pretty soon. So the overall number is going to be the same. Problem is we may have to cut and slice a little differently.
Because we're just up that 1.5 percent. So we're going to end up with basically the same number. It's just how we adjust it.
Okay, right.
We're not anticipating anything way, either way right now.
No.
Okay. That helps us to anticipate.
Yeah.
Then I would say this to you. Don't use the whole thing if you're figuring the budget up. Don't use the whole thing up for materials and equipment, because there might be such a need as...
And the other thing is, we're going to have a road and bridge superintendent. Mm-hmm. For that process, so, but any work you guys can do now will help him when they step in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. That's everything I had. You guys have something, or you gentlemen? That's all I had on my list.
You can't run taken care of, done. I haven't been on it.
The culvert?
Yep.
Yes.
It's all done then?
They patched it and they may paint it today or tomorrow. We're going to try to get it done before school starts.
Great.
Got striping. So.
Great. Okay.
But the culvert has been put in and paved over.
Okay. Is that all you guys got?
That's
got
all I got.
Jim, I've got something.
Go ahead then.
We, as soon as we get the paperwork back on the KDOT Park, which has been signed off by the commission and everything, there's some trash that needs to be picked up that has been put there in the last month or two, and I thought we might use a piece of equipment to go down there and and pick that trash up, put it in the back of a dump truck, and haul it to the
transfer. It's like flood trash kind of stuff?
No, it's just a household trash that somebody just took down there and dumped.
So recently?
Yeah, within probably the last month or two. But here's my question.
Is it good looking, Doug?
I haven't seen it. They said it don't look bad.
Okay.
But anyway, what I was wondering is, you gentlemen want to, and I've already talked to Mr. Heiser with the Corps, you guys want to drill a couple of holes over to the side and put a pipe gate across that so that we don't have that problem until we start working in there to clean that up? I think it would be, I think we'll pay for the gate and what it costs, just in what it's going to cost us to go clean trash every once in a while.
No safety concerns if someone running into it? I mean,
oh, we'll put a big sign, we'll mark it well.
I have no problem with that.
What do you think, Ron? They just double. And then I think we'll save it in labor. There's going to be some volunteer groups that decide to go in and help clean it up, but I didn't, the major big stuff, I thought it'd be better if the county had that cleaned up before we let a group of Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or whatever go in there.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
What about this group that we may or may not be hiring that's going to do labor in the flooded areas, et cetera?
Well,
it's not flood related.
No,
it's not.
That's.
It's in the flood related area, but it's not flood related.
It's not a designated project.
No.
The household trash and bags probably wouldn't qualify.
I do have one
kick
more.
Him? Kick him. I'm going to hit him in the head.
And guys, we got all this free labor.
You see this?
Ron, on that note, you're talking about this, these unemployed people coming in with this program.
Workforce development.
I'm still trying to get a determination at what, if we can use them on these FEMA sites. And I haven't got my question answered yet to them, but I am still waiting on that answer. To keep from getting paid through by FEMA plus this, we got to be careful. We got to have a determination of what jobs can we use them on. We can't use them on a regular maintenance. We can use them on flood and disaster damage. That's why can I use them on these sites?
Do we have a lot of trees down from the recent straight line winds? Does that work? We don't have?
No, we got them all
done.
About 95% cleaned up. We moved fast.
They done that last week. Well, we did an oil. Had about 3-4 areas that we had tree damage we had to go through and clean up. So.
And that wasn't a FEMA event either.
FEMA also said on those building up of Clevenger Cove, Graham Clark's, where there wasn't any road damage, they would not mitigate and pay any expense to raise them, to help us raise them. They would not, since there was no road structure damage. Correct.
The mitigation only pays off initial damage. The first person has to show initial surface damage or whatever this damage there we have to fix. Then that report is made, and then the mitigator works off of that. So when there's no surface damage at all, they pay 75% to put back bad. If bad in the beginning is why it's flooded, they pay 75% to put back bad.
Well, I know we talked about using this to get trucks and men to build up roads, and FEMA will not cover part of it to do that.
Yeah, they've got a lot of information they've brought back to me since.
Don't understand how Webster County is going to get $800,000 worth, and we can't find it 10 days.
What they told me? I mean, I'm. Ned Harland down there after he went to Dale Avenue. There was no damage at Dale Avenue.
Yes.
The road itself would not mitigate to make a field and make it passable any time.
Gentlemen, when do we have our next quarterly meeting with the commissioners, or is it going
to be? I am actually working on it right now. It's the second week of October. It's going to be at Branson this year.
I'm
wondering about making a trip to Webster County and actually visiting with their commission.
Okay.
To ask them how, maybe some questions like that just come up. Somehow they're ended up with some funds that we can't get our hands on. And I'm wanting to find out how they did that.
Right.
I know those guys. I mean, I know who they are and can visit with them, so. I don't know whether they had as much road damage. I think theirs are mainly around the courthouse. And
building damage, perhaps?
I'm not sure, but they're getting a chunk of money.
Webster wasn't hit by the tornado, was it?
Mm-mm.
So it's all flood-related?
Flood-related.
That's interesting.
Unless that was a misprint or something in the paper.
I don't know.
Is it also ice damage?
No, that was 2 years ago.
Well,
yeah,
maybe they just haven't got to it. I'm trying to think of where, through this work program, and it's Cleo that's the one that's pushing my buttons anyway. Okay.
I'm hoping to use them on a couple of different, two or three different sites, hopefully, and some of them are still underwater. If timing of them is going to be one thing.
My question was before, is what about stepping back and utilize them within the county, within incorporated areas? For example, I know when the water goes down in Shadow Rock, there's going to be a mess there. When the water goes down in other areas, but it hasn't got, I mean, it's going down, but it hasn't got down far enough to do the work that's necessary.
Right.
Go ahead.
I'm wanting to use them on them particular areas that we're still waiting on, three areas basically, and then
the time frame's not going to be very long, so I'm not going to be very long.
I mean, they're wanting to push now, and I mean, we may be looking at November before we see two of these sites.
Well, then there's no use us getting into the project if we have to work these people 1,000 hours, because we're not going to have 1,000 hours.
Ron, we got into that Shadow Rock like you talked about, and I think that'd be a great deal if they would do it, but they won't. There's some kind of a contract that they have with the city of Forsyth that says that they can dump water in there and flood that area, and it cannot be FEMA dollars collected on it. And well, it's some it kind of a written contract that they made with the city when they took the deal.
It wouldn't pay nothing on it either.
2008 is when we looked at that before, when we were doing the road up Swan.
Yeah.
And that's what was in the contract with them. So. Yeah, well, I'm ready to do that now.
I'm on the one that says no parking on the right way.
Oh, good.
I think it should. They should be. We don't have that any other place in the county. I think it should be done.
Well, are you giving the nod now?
I am giving the nod now.
I give a nod now.
Ready?
We better reserve some time next week.
I've got a couple of those questions. That one of them pertains to road and bridge equipment. The city, I don't know whether the city of Forsyth, it would need to be an agreement. The city of Forsyth and the fair board has asked that they use our little old rock picker up there for in their campground, or their, not their campground, but the arena. I don't have a problem with that, other than we have to watch how we do that. As long as it's an intergovernmental agreement with them to do that, I'm fine with it. But if they also want to know if we'd haul some chips for them from over Table Rock, and I said no. But I told them I would bring it to you and ask you. We can't do that. I mean, they've got to, within the city limits there.
What's cross-checking?
That's that little deal that goes on the bobcat.
Oh, the preparator.
Yeah. Takes up those rocks, and I don't care to loan that to them with some kind of an agreement, but I don't, this other deal, that they've got the ability to haul their own stuff, and I'm not for that, but I told them I'd bring it to the commission.
So this is just something that you pull behind a bobcat that picks up?
Yeah, it attaches to the front.
They got a vehicle that'll attach to?
That's what they said. They said all they needed was the bar that...
Yeah.
And I don't have any problem with that at all. Yeah. Okay. I'll get the word to Steve Adams on that.
They have their own bobcat?
I don't know. He just said the rock picker. I ain't worried about how they get it if they drag it by hand.
Bobcats and rock pickers out there.
You got a lot of rock pickers?
I've got a few rock pickers.
I bet we got some down there in the jail.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Guys, do you have any other issues?
No, I don't.
Only two fair board.
Huh?
No, to the city.
City.
Only to the city.
Governmental. And we'll need a little governmental agreement wrote up with them. I guess we do. I don't know. We trade.
Might as well.
Well, we traded out with their...
I think that the city and the county work, cities and county work together pretty well. I know that when there was a lift station over in Branson that was getting ready to flood, didn't you guys get over there and work around that?
The city helps us out quite a bit with our water truck, getting water, or our sweeper truck when we're in this area,
and I think we ought to just let them use it.
Don't worry about the agreement deal on it. But
so they'll
call
back when we get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have the city employees come and pick it up and take it to the location, and then when we get ready to get it, we'll get it from the city.
Very quickly, I think we're done, right, gentlemen?
Yeah.
I had a note from, I guess this came down from Nikki, or Jillian. The tax sale is going to be held in this commission hearing room next Monday?
Yep.
Are we, in fact, wanting to have commission the following day? What have we got set up?
We have nothing set up right now. They're waiting for direction. We've done it both ways. We've moved it to a Tuesday, or we've just moved it upstairs and had it in our...
And that
would
be Tuesday the 23rd?
I would be in favor of keeping it and just moving it upstairs, and we just won't broadcast that.
We could just say that it would be tape recorded and of tape recorded tapes available to anyone on request.
Then let's make notice of the fact that we're going to move the commission from this hearing room upstairs. Let's post it.
We'll have it posted on the door.
And this room will be utilized for the tax sale, as it is annually.
Well, I'm already getting questions.
Do you want me to write them
out
so they can read it, Jim?
Are we still going to do that the second week in October?
We hadn't actually scheduled it yet, but I would presume it depends on how the days, but that approximate time here to me.
Do you guys hear me? I'm already getting questions on when we're going to have the fall cleanup, and we usually have that in the second week of October or something like that.
Can we get some dates next time we meet? We'll just post it. You give us dates, we'll
post it.
Yeah.
What did you say that the quarterly commissioners meeting was? Is that Southwest Missouri?
That's Southwest. Here, let me look here. I've got an email. I've been communicating with the host site. One second. We're going to be having it out in Silver City.
Is the county closed for Columbus Day, by the way, or is that not a holiday?
Yeah, it's closed. Yeah. One moment, please, Mr. Houseman, as I...
Better take it with you.
Take it with you?
Oh, don't leave anything where these commissioners...
I know that last week is the MAC annual, being in conjunction with the commissioners board also. Randy, you going to bring that back over for discussion today?
I didn't want him to leave it here.
Okay.
Randy, and we'll bring up this letter of Ronnie Mountain's when you're over here at that time also.
Unless there's no objection, let's stand in recess until 1 o'clock.
And next time we have one of these, I want you